right. We're back. Hour two. Republic of Texas Radio. Today's date is July 30th, 2023. We're talking about power and all sorts of different stuff. But one of the things that we were just talking about is that, well, the temperature of, well, here in Fredericksburg and how everything's so dang dry. Well, that's going on allegedly all around the United States of America and globally. The news people have adopted a new red background map telling us that the world is globally boiling, right? And we're all going to die. And I'm going, okay. Yeah, and it's because of carbon offset trading or some damn thing. You know, they come up with their nonsense, you know, constantly. And exactly why weather changes and so forth, that's different. But we're talking about power. And the reason I bring up the heat thing is because on the East Coast, there's part of a power grid. You know, Dave, maybe you've paid attention to this a little bit more. I kind of casually saw it. They're like, oh, part of the U.S. power grid is about to collapse, and it's been saved by diesel and coal. And you're like, okay. And they're like, we need to get more solar panels. Right? I'm like, what? Okay. The heat doom is here. We're in the heat doom at this time. Did you hear about that, Dave? That the part of the grid was going to collapse? Yes?
Well, the oldest part of the grid in this country is here in the northeast area. So that really kind of makes sense. And yeah, it's fragile. We should all acknowledge that. That we've got some places where they're just archaic infrastructure, and it's not looking like they're going to go in and replace and upgrade it. And if we get an upgrade, it's going to be an upgrade of their choice. Now, oddly enough, my mother, her boyfriend, he had an interest. It was a hobby of his. He loved collecting maps of transmission lines and railroad tracks. And he had a map that he showed me one time of all the transmission lines and where they come down and rain down throughout the Northeast and the substations and everything. And it was frightening. It really was. And you think about it. And I often, when after 9/11 happened, people were all hopped up on terrorism and, you know, how we could be attacked. And I told people, I said, you know, someone could walk into Walmart, buy one of those little kids' suction cup bow and arrows, go to a junkyard somewhere and grab a generator and pull out the copper wire and go to just the right place and shoot that over a transmission line, short out the substation at just the right time during peak usage, during a heat wave, during a whatever, when there's high demand, and like dominoes would trickle right down the East Coast.
Sure.
You know, it is that sensitive. So, I would love for us to be talking about decentralizing our power needs. Solar, if you want to get all these greenies talking about solar, they love to talk about solar. Rather than government driving innovation, the brilliant minds out there should be driving innovation. We're at a point where you can have a roof put on your house. Where the shingles are solar panels.
Yeah.
I mean, what if every home generated its own power? That's too much independence. Government's never going to allow funding in execution of innovative ideas like that.
You know, and guys, you know, I guess we've kind of pulled ourselves away from, you know, guys like, you know, T. Henry Murray, T. Townsend Brown, Thomas Vallone, Electrogovitics, you know, the different sources and uses for, the giant dynamo that we live on, which is the Earth and the system that we live on. You know, it spins, and, you know, where the hell does lightning come from? You know, every lightning bolt is just, you know, billions of watts of electric energy, you know, exchanged between the atmosphere and the ground. You know, we live in a sea of energy, and every time someone tries to harvest it, they either get bought out or they get dead.
Yep, that's the hard point. But, man, there's so many different ways to go. I do like that idea of actually well, being independent from a grid, right? Right now I am on the grid, right? I've got, power lines coming, transmission lines, as you call them, Dave, coming into my house. But those go down, right? And I've watched them go down quite a bit, and that's why I have a generator. But that's only for now. You know, back in 2008, when I was running away from the world, you know, I was doing the whole off-grid thing and trying to raise my own veggies and, you know, sheeps and rabbits and chickens and all that, just doing the whole thing, right? I'd have to maintain my windmills and my lead-acid batteries, you know, to try to make energy. No, I mean, we did make energy. You know, we had plenty of energy, but... Dave, earlier on, you were talking about compromises and how are you going to do this or that. Air conditioners were definitely out when it was running off of, I think at that time I had like 10 or 12 solar panels. And solar panels, we learned a lot, or at least I did, from the big old snowstorm of 21. Mm-hmm. Right in 2021 in Texas, it got cold, and the power went away. And after the grid failed Texas, they had this big come together, and they ERCOT, Texas Energy, whatever the hell they claim to be, or dun dun dun. Everybody was dragged in front. Okay, you're from the coal power plants. How did you fail? You're from the, how did you fail? Solar and wind, you know, stepped up to the table and had a seat. And they said, well, why did you fail? And they said, we didn't fail. We did exactly what we said we were going to do. We're not going to be working when it gets that cold, right? There's snow on our
Steve. Steve, you're talking about refrigeration. You remember you brought me these plans this one time about a passive refrigeration system. Sure. Unfortunately, it uses anhydrous ammonia, which now if you try to get anhydrous ammonia, you better be a farmer or you're making methamphetamine. But, you know, it used anhydrous ammonia, and it was like calcium chloride, you know, crystals or something like that, and you had a reflector that would heat it up, and it would gasify, you know, the anhydrous, and it would go down. And you could have a chamber down underground, like in a root cellar, and it was actually a passive refrigeration system that had no pump, no nothing. It was just the natural reaction between heating a gas, you know, a substance, and then you know, condensing it and taking the cold air out of the root cellar, and then it would you know, vaporize back up and go back. And it was just a passive system,
right?
But it was a refrigeration system. Yeah,
you can still find plans on that if you ever do a search on the internet for. And I know you're not searching, Alan, but it's a solar ice maker, right? They do that in third world countries. You can put one of these things up if you. But the chemicals, how do you get the chemicals here in the United States? You can't get those chemicals. You know, we're on lockdown on anhydrous ammonia, and it's well, you have a hard time buying a can of spray paint here as well. Hey, let's go to the phones real quick. We got Sherry in Kansas on the line. Hey, Sherry.
Good morning. Very interesting program. Dave, I do have to disagree with you on the solar panels on the roofing. Personally, with all the waste on solar stuff, when you go to get rid of it, I think passive solar is very good, but this... All these, I think there's going to be huge trash places of solar stuff that you're using to generate electricity. But why I called, I want to know if any of you have ever seen anybody that's put on one of these add-on electrolyzers that you put on your car and you tap into the intake manifold, and it's like an assist. But Vincent Finelli had a guy on that was...
The HHO generators, is that what you're talking about?
Yep.
Have you guys ever seen anybody that's
built
done
one?
That?
No. I really kind of relegate those to more snake oil because it's a perceived... you might, the draw from the engine is usually like a 10 amp thing, and then it puts energy into it. So calculating the loss of energy from your alternator and then the gains from, you know, well, making hydrogen, that's why they call that an HHO, right? Am I getting that wrong, Dave?
No, I think that's what she was referring to. It sounded like it, and I do know somebody, a couple of people that have toyed with that. One guy delivered hay, and he was on the road trucking daily. He had souped up a system, and I think he was able to get like 5 miles, 4 to 5 miles per gallon better mileage. So there was an improvement. But you've got something that's got to be maintained too. The thing can melt down. You got to maintain it. But you know, there's no reason we shouldn't be pursuing advances in that technology, because water, hydrogen and oxygen are both extremely flammable. They're very combustible and would work very well. They burn very cleanly too. So is there a way to produce hydrogen? Because, you know, being as explosive as it is, you can imagine that if you generate excess hydrogen inside your vehicle, you know, you're driving around in a hydrogen bomb, basically, if things go wrong. So, you know, we need advancements, though, in that, to where you generate enough for use and no more. You know, it's got its hazards, but why should we not be considering pulling fuel for our vehicles right out of water, which is pretty plentiful?
And Dave, you know, maybe a slight correction here from everything that I know. Hydrogen, yes, is flammable. You light hydrogen and it goes off very quick, you know. But oxygen actually requires a fuel source to burn. You know, it's like using a welding torch, you know, an oxyacetylene torch. You can start a cut with oxyacetylene, and you can actually shut the acetylene off. And as long as you keep that torch tip at the right point, just using oxygen, because the metal is already so hot that it's burning, but you pull it away and the oxygen, you can hold a lighter up into the flame of the oxygen and it won't burn. It has to have something to keep it burning, you know. And it's kind of one of the myths, you know. Everyone says oxygen is, you know, it's required for pyrolysis, you know, of items, you know, for the term leaves me, but oxygen itself requires a fuel for it to burn, you know. And, you know, very minor fact, but that's just something that I know from doing cutting torches and welding and crap like that. But,
interesting.
You know, the beginning of your show, you were talking about stuff that made me think about this guy that I knew in the 90s that owned a machine shop, and his pretty much the smartest guy I knew at the time, because he actually demonstrated at the International Tesla Society things when they were in Colorado. And but he had developed, he told me that he had developed a carburetor, and I think this was in the 80s, or that it got really, he put it on one of his vehicles, and he got really good gas mileage, you know, and he looked into patenting it, and they were going to make him buy two new vehicles that would be destroyed in the testing. And then when you see what's happening with these electric car batteries, you know, they had to know this crap is going to happen. And it's like they have no, you know, responsibility for it. You know? But anyway, yeah. That's
I don't know.
My
that's great.
Oh, the other thing on your wood chips, go to these places. See, we have these people that have to trim the hedgerow trees that go over go under the power lines. Go to one of those places and get all their wood, have them deliver their wood chips to your house.
Well, right now you can do that, but if we wind up in a position we were talking about, how sensitive the grid was, and if it goes down, if we have a long or a semi-long-term energy crisis, places like that are not going to be giving you their wood chips anymore.
Yeah, that's
we're going to wind up on our own with that. But You're absolutely right. And you actually remind me of a point that I want to make here, is for those that strive to be as independent as they can and off-grid as they can, right now while the grid is up and while resources and things are available, do not force yourself to live under those conditions when you're not even really ready yet. Use the grid to its fullest benefit that you can to get yourself prepared. I don't think that people that have ambitions to be able to live off-grid should force themselves to go without and slow down the process of strengthening their system.
Well, I don't know. There's sometimes that it's nice to go through test days. Like, last year when Alan took down his power grid with his backhoe, you know, a week outage? And you learned an awful lot during that time, didn't you?
Yeah, I EMP'd myself, yes.
Yeah, that's it was hilarious. But.
Hey, I've got one more question for Dave. Dave, are you familiar with the... I've got an old Popular Mechanics article I saved about these guys that I think they used to be at MIT, and they broke off from MIT, and they did a lot of experiments on what we call, I don't know, eco-living, but they were at Woods Hole, Massachusetts. Did you ever pay any attention to their stuff?
Yeah, I'm very familiar with Woods Hole. In fact, when I was in college... I was, you know, entertaining what I wanted to do as a career and in life, and I kept pretty close tabs on Woods Hole, because that is like the place for oceanographic and water-related research. But I actually did some work on Plum Island, which you might be familiar with.
Wow.
I worked for 2 weeks on Plum Island. And what I saw there scared the hell out of me. I don't ever want to go there again. I couldn't wait for that job.
Is it really like the
okay,
the island
I'll hang up.
Tomorrow?
I have an interesting show this morning, guys. Thanks.
Okay.
Yeah, Dave, Woods Hole, you know, in my early years, I was entertaining wanting to become, you know, thought about becoming a marine biologist. And I know Woods Hole is the, you know, vaunted institution for that. But, yeah.
Okay, I never wanted to be one of those, but that's okay. We're not all the same. Let's keep on the phone since we've got some people on the line and see which direction we go. Hey, HB, are you there?
I'm here. Just wanted to give people a heads up. I saw where our illustrious leader is outlawing incandescent light bulbs.
I saw that too.
And August 1st. Won't be able to buy anymore, so I guess everybody needs to go out and get some light bulbs today.
And I like incandescent light bulbs, but like
too.
Dave said,
I've already done that, my friend. The last time that came up, I went out and bought like a couple of cases of incandescent light bulbs. So yeah, I've got more than I'll probably use in my lifetime.
Yeah, but. I did that too, and I'm just about to run out of my supply, so I got to go back.
Yeah,
I use those to heat the water for the chickens. I'll get a cement block with a hole in it, and I'll put a light bulb down inside one of the holes in the water feeder right on top of it, and usually a 40-watt light bulb in zero weather will keep it thawed. And I also insulate around my water pump with, you know, typical 2-inch foam insulation with a 40 or a 60-watt light bulb inside of that, which is enough to keep my water flowing, so... there's advantages to those light bulbs beyond the light that they throw.
Yeah, the LEDs, during my initial days off-grid, it was use incandescent light bulbs, and those were, of course, drawing 100 watts or 60 watts even to produce light. You're like, what? I don't have that much in my battery banks. Hang on. We'll be right back. Republic of Texas. I was shy to pay attention. It's like you said. It's in my head. The camera runs circles till the morning comes. When it does, I know it's...
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject, from the funding behind the transgender movement to firsthand memoirs of World War II previously inaccessible to English-speaking audiences. We publish books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo. Whether you count yourself as a political dissident, student of history, connoisseur of philosophy, or enthusiast of exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you owe it to yourself to check out our catalog. With exclusive offerings like The Transgender Industrial Complex, Solzhenitsyn and the Right, The Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more, there's something for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out our catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com and use code RBNReaders2023 for 10% off your order. That's RBNReaders2023 at antelopehillpublishing.com.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Yeah. We're back. Republic of Texas Radio. Hey, HB just joined us, and he reminded us that the death of incandescent light bulbs in the United States of America, well, it's supposedly Tuesday, whatever, Monday. But anyway, my brother-in-law once was like a C-series for a light bulb company. And I'm like, what? What do you do, light bulbs? And he says, yeah, we do lots of light bulbs. And I says, well, what's that like? You got any new super-duper light bulbs? He says, there's always been super-duper light bulbs. But, well, we don't want to make a light bulb too good or we put ourselves out of business. So I'm like, oh, man. It's like, dude, we're
planned obsolescence.
Yeah, well, everywhere. HB, got anything else?
Well, yeah, I saw it might have been on RBN site that they've manufactured now some female mosquitoes that can reproduce by themselves.
Ah.
I thought Gates was supposed to be making mosquitoes that didn't reproduce.
gives a whole new meaning to the term go F yourself, huh? Yeah.
Oh, they're exactly. Delivering vaccines right now, so they're not going to kill off the mosquitoes. They're delivering medications.
Exactly, like malaria. What are we going to do about poison?
There's always been, like, amphibians out there, you know, like certain frogs and certain other animals, when they're in a very stressed environment. They can have asexual reproduction, but what comes out of that is always a female of the species. You know, there's no XY, you know, factor involved in it. But, you know, but the genetic manipulation, the artificial synthetic manipulation,
yeah,
is something not good for this whole planet. I can tell you that.
Well, what about them poisoning the beef supply? So everybody that eats it's going to get real sick now.
Yeah. I mentioned a moment ago that I worked at Plum Island, and it's probably noteworthy to mention that the first case of Lyme disease came about 2 miles away on the shore from Lyme, Connecticut. They are studying that type of thing on that island. And now they've got a tick-borne illness that gives you severe allergic reactions when you eat meat. This is frightening stuff.
Now they've moved Plum Island to the middle of the United States in Manhattan, Kansas. Yeehaw! Right in the middle of the country. Go for it, yeah.
I wouldn't say they moved it. They probably divided it and sent part of it there. I think there's still things. The infrastructure they got on that island, I don't think they're just going to let sit there and rot.
No, probably not. But yeah.
They probably
all right, that's
just
all
we're in a lot of trouble, folks. We're in a lot of trouble. Yeah.
Man. No.
See you boys later.
All right. Thanks, HB. Ooh-wee. So, let's just keep to the calls, see where we go. I mean, we made it to the,
Steve,
Plum Island island of Dr. Morrow. I'm like, whoa,
I'll mention real quick,
talk.
Steve, I'm laying here, Steve. I've got the dog laying down with the deer, I wish more people could live like this. I'm trying to adopt the whitetail, strategy of life. But,
maybe someday.
We kind of cross-exist and coexist and, I live in a pretty different world than most of the people out there. I know that.
I hear you. Rhonda, are you still there? Rhonda in Missouri?
Hello.
Hello. What do you got for us today?
Yeah, so there was a storm that came through here yesterday, and power was out for 16 and a half hours.
Mm.
So I posted this to my Facebook page, but I think... I've had issues with Spectrum, and I'm sure a lot of other people have. But I called Spectrum to ask them how much my credit was going to be because they hitched their wagon to the electric company. No, it's really negligible. But one person calling 16 and a half hours later, 11:37 or something like that. But if more people did that. And there was a wide outage. I mean, gosh, my sister looked it up on her cell phone. There was like 880,000 without power. So,
I'm surprised you got a dime from them.
When I called in, she goes, no. I said, now, is this a courtesy? And she goes, no, you did the exact right thing by calling in. So you have to ask. I know a lot of people are like, it's okay. But no, ask. Because that's how you get stuff done. Maybe they'll change their model. But, when they stopped using the copper wiring several years ago, and you can't make a phone call, no hard lines anymore,
right. That's
when that happened. So you just go, okay, well, they need a spanking. I gave them a hit. I'm saying just a small one.
Yeah.
But if your listeners
$11, that's great.
Yeah, if your listeners are without power in any time, really, for more than 4 hours, they'll start giving you a credit.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
So. Well, yeah, I hear you. Wow.
And the electric companies, putting on smart meters, which we opted out, but you got to pay a $100 bribery fee and a $40 extortion fee in Missouri. So
is that a one-time extortion fee? Or
the bribery fee is a one-time $100, and then the extortion fee is $40 a month.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah,
$40 a month.
Illinois is only 20. And you're like, what? They're the ones that are suffering. I'm just saying. Wanted to say that everybody that had Spectrum that had an outage for more than 4 hours, call and ask for that credit. You'll get it. And then maybe they'll rethink the way they do business.
All right, that's the music. You want to hold over? Or,
no, I'm good. That's all I wanted to say. Thanks so much for taking my call. All right.
Thanks, Rhonda. We'll be right back. Public Texas Radio.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
So here we fight all through the night.
All right. We're back. Republic of Texas Radio. Oh, wow. We're in a long segment coming up to the home stretch. And they're off. This feels like a horse race. Nah. So what do you think? Spectrum outages, power outages. Wow. Yeah, I haven't had one of those in a little bit, but I'm sure it's going to happen again pretty dang soon. What do you think, Alan?
Yeah. My power out here in the country blinks quite regular, and I've got to, you know, reset everything and turn everything back on. My problem right now is I've got a deer in the catch with me. I'm being attacked by a baby white-tailed deer. But that's just my life. Anyway, go on with Dave. Ask Dave what he thinks.
What do you think, Dave? And we'll go back to callers. Go ahead, Dave.
Oh, I think we're going to see this similar pattern going into the future. We've always lost power. I mean, going back to when I was a kid, you get storms. It's a maintenance thing. Every town's a little different in how aggressive they are with the tree trimming. But, you know, these inconveniences happen a lot. But, you know, we can't forget when something like out here in the Northeast, we had an ice storm a while back that put us out of power for a couple of weeks. I mean, it was bad. And people went and flooded out generators. Nice. To the point that they were on back order. And the moment the power came on, I could not believe this. I'm driving down the road and everyone's selling their generators.
Whoa.
Like it was never going to happen again. I just could not believe it. But, yeah, we're going to be prepared for that in general. But, you know, in the event, and I do believe that in our not too distant future, we could be looking at some long-term disruptions. And it's we would be negligent not to be preparing at least a little bit every day, every week, doing a little something to make ourselves more resilient to that. Because let's face it, those that are prepared for such things are not going to panic when cooler heads
are. You know, Dave, it's like I've got like a 7,000-watt diesel generator out here. When I start it up, you know, you can hear it from a mile and a half, 2 miles away. You know, it's not muffled real well, but you know, it puts out so much energy. It's like I could run my well pump. I could cook a Thanksgiving turkey in the oven. I could turn the television, the stereo on, and every light in my house, and it still wouldn't, you know, draw, you know, what that's producing. You know, so when I started up, I almost feel it's like, well, I started up just to keep, you know, my refrigerated stuff frozen, you know, so I don't lose all my meat and my milk and everything else. And that's just using a fraction of what it can do. You know, I wish I had a more efficient, you know, system that I could, you know, basically produce what I need instead of overproducing. And, there's got to be some better technology out there somehow.
Mix up a battery system with that so that when you have high energy needs, say you need to run a clothes dryer or a 220 welder or something like that, where you require those high energy inputs, don't waste a moment of time. You should be trickle feeding battery banks. If your generator's running, you should be filling your batteries so that generator, if you've got to run it 2 hours a day or 2 hours a week or whatever it is, you know, again, it's about being smart in our energy use. We're, you know, in a time of crisis.
I've got charge controllers and inverters and everything. But, you know, a battery system, especially since all you can basically get are lead acid storage batteries, that's a lot of upkeep and a lot of maintenance. If you draw them down too low, you know, you ruin the battery and it won't recharge. There's a lot involved in that. You know, it's not real convenient, but, you know, when push comes to shove,
let me share something with you about batteries. And right now, while things are up and going, is I go with a buddy of mine to the equipment auctions quite often. And every now and again, you get a big factory that gets a new fleet of pallet jacks, these big battery-operated forklifts. All right, now, we will go and buy those at $125 a piece. They have six batteries that are 10-inch by 10-inch by 3 feet high. And we sell the forks for $200. We sell the husk of the machine because it's heavy steel. We probably get another $300 for that. And then the batteries, if we wanted to scrap them, were about $85. But we take those batteries. Most of them are good. All right, we take a $125 investment, make hundreds of dollars, and at the same time accumulate batteries that will... you tell me how many
several hundred amp hours of power in them. Yeah.
Oh my goodness! Yes.
Yeah.
Commercial batteries too.
Yeah, we got to think outside of the box and put these things together. And this is where, you know, community comes in, because I'm not big on electricity. I don't like messing with electricity too much. I got nearly electrocuted when I was 16 years old, and I've always had a fear of electrical stuff. So I do the barter system. I get people that are real experts in electricity, and, you know, I barter my labors and my skills in exchange. Think outside of the box. Be diverse in what your needs are. Think about it. I could run a lot off from batteries in terms of lights, small fans. All right, I'm not going to keep my pipes underneath. I got a mobile home up at my camp. All right, I insulate well around the skirt, but to keep my pipes from freezing, I'm not going to run an electrical cable. I'm going to have a PVC pipe next to my wood stove in a tiny little fan like one that you'd find in a computer, just to move hot air, excess hot air from the living space down underneath my home. You know, my floor in the middle of the winter here, 0-degree weather, is going to be toasty warm. In my, you know, and for what? How long can you run a computer fan in a couple of lights off from a fully charged battery?
And you're talking about a computer fan, which is a brushless fan. And, you know, those little fans will sit there. And I've got one that's been running for like 8 years, you know, on a certain system that I have as a cooling fan. And it's been running 24 hours a day for like 8 years, and it's still running.
Yeah.
Draws very little power, brushless fan.
All right, let's move on. Sovereign Man, are you there?
Hey.
Hey.
Ahoy.
What do you got? How you doing? Nice to hear from
you. I'm blessed. Every now and then, you know, it's kind of hard to tell, but I'm still alive and well. Anyway, it's Johnny Winter, lick from Johnny Winter. Mycoplasma, the linking pathogen to all neurosystemic diseases. You've heard that before, right?
Yeah, you don't sound like Lauren, but yes, go ahead, Lauren.
My chocolate bunny. My chocolate bunny. That's Plum Island. That's the bioweapon that came out of Japan. And that's what was the basis for this whole scamdemic. But anyway, you know, because it's, you know, silent weapons for quiet wars. I wanted to mention Waterhammer. Are you familiar with the Waterhammer?
The Waterhammer effect, yes. That's how a hydraulic ram pump works.
Well, we're not talking about a hydraulic ram pump. I'm talking about a water hammer is a cylinder that's machined with holes at an angle, and what you do is you generate hot water, i.e. steam, and it's placed in a very tight fitting cylinder. You know, it's a machine cylinder, and it's put inside another cylinder, and then the hot water or the boiling water or steam is entered into the cylinder, and it actually starts to rotate. You might need to slap it, you know, like you know, give it a spin to get it started. But once it's going, it is perpetual virtually. And there you go. You know, you're talking about all the wood and all this stuff, you know, generating gas. Well, you could do that with steam and turn the generator, light the lights, you got hot water, everything, it's all right there.
And nice. Basically, you know, they call it a water hammer, but basically it works on the non-compressibility of water. And you know, when steam expands, you know, it can blow any vessel up because it doesn't compress like, you know, like a hydraulic fluid, you know, can compress and create, you know, thousands
water
of pounds
is
of pressure.
Amazing.
You know, water has a limit, and it don't compress too much. You know, that's
It's like it's the opposite element. It's like the reverse of everything else. It freezes. When it freezes, it expands. You know, and you know, there's actually four states to elements. People don't know. Have you ever heard of the fourth phase of water?
Possibly, I can't bring it up right now. Are you talking about plasma state or what?
Nope. It's actually between state one and two, and it has to do with information.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's not about the covalent bond. The guy's name is Jerry Pollack. Look up Jerry Pollack, the fourth phase of water.
You're talking about
real,
the memory
really good
phase.
Stuff.
Yeah. The memory and structured water and what it can do, yeah.
Absolutely. And you know, everything on the planet that's alive is contrived to water. It has water.
As we know life, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, as we know life.
Pretty sweet, man.
Yeah, the whole concept of steam is a valid one. You know, steam engines were among the first commercialized. But, you know, people being what they are, as it is right now, people drive their cars around forever, and they just put gas in it. They don't think about oil. They don't think about their battery posts getting corroded. So steam will blow up. I mean, look at the wood stoves that they used to have. They had water jackets so you could generate endless hot water through your wood stove. They made those illegal in most states. you know, because government was trying to protect us from ourselves. But many of these alternative energy things that we're talking about come with the responsibility of maintenance and upkeep, knowing how it works.
Right. If your relief valve clogged up, your steam boiler would explode. Yeah.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to call Billy Bob's Wood Gas Emporium to have a serviceman come out to figure out what's wrong with your wood gas fire. You got to, there's maintenance to it. You got to understand how this stuff works and analyze our energy needs and match it up to the right thing.
Well, Dave, I can just go on YouTube and find out all that stuff nowadays, right? You don't have to actually
know
anything, right? Yeah.
Better hurry up before the grid goes down.
Right.
Oh, by the way, speaking of grid going down, the feds cut the power to the Browns in New Hampshire, mm-hmm. and it took Ed 3 days to find out they cut his power because he had solar. He had solar, he had a generator, he had wind, and he had the battery bank. I have first-hand knowledge.
You're talking Ed Lane, right?
That's correct. I have first-hand knowledge. I did see the battery bank and all that. Yeah, very, very wonderful couple. Ed is still in prison. We don't know where he is. I pray that he's okay. So send out the love to Ed Brown. Elaine is.
Think about him quite often. That's kind of when Steve and I became acquainted. It was in the Ed and Elaine Brown phase. You know, that's basically
Error,
when Steve and I met. Yeah.
Where's Elaine now?
Yep. Elaine was released, and Danny Riley and Jason Gerhard were released also under the Davis Act. The Davis,
and they also have gag restrictions where they can't talk about anything, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it's called what is it? Oh, parole and probation, the revenue extraction scheme.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you talk, you die. Yeah.
All right. Hey, we've got one more call. I'm going to try to get to them.
Blessings, guys.
Yeah, totally, man. No, appreciate it. Mike in Kentucky, what brings you to our little show?
Back after Gordon Liddy got out of prison, he went on the speech circuit, and I saw him when I was a teenager, and I had the opportunity to ask him a question, but I wasn't very, I don't know, I was kind of shy in front of the microphone. He told about what he knew while he was on the National Security Council, that in an afternoon he could take out the electrical grid in the eastern United States just by himself. And, I mean, I don't want to give any clue. I don't want to give any clues as to what he said, what he could do. But, I mean,
will aim shots on insulators.
Well,
on
I'm not. Yeah, I don't.
And,
should we give anybody? Yeah. Why should we give any nerdy whales any ideas? You know.
I know.
But there was a stupid squirrel supposedly that caused a cascading blackout in Ohio. I think that's been a story a couple of times. Right, a squirrel gets across an insulator and caused a cascading. Who knows if that's
had that happen on my ranch on the transformer out here, Mike? I called the power company and got my binoculars out, and I looked over at my transformer, and I saw fur on top of the transformer, and I called them back up, and I said, I think it's, and they said, it's probably a squirrel on top of your transformer, and I said, yeah. They came out, and they put a new circuit across there so a squirrel couldn't jump it, you know, and short across it anymore, but yeah.
Huh.
They can, yeah.
Well, who got to eat the squirrel? Wasn't it good and cooked? It would have been.
Depends on if you like electronified squirrels. Like, you know, I mean, you know what? Do we eat the people that get electrified in the electric chair? Well, maybe they do. I don't know.
Ooh, only in Europe.
It's just another example, though. And I've seen so much just myself. I've noticed a lot of infrastructure that's just ridiculously vulnerable. If people wanted to, somebody was mad enough. And there was a story out of Houston back in, I think, the late 90s, whenever they started putting up fiber optic for the cable systems. This guy was, I think, about four times he went around cutting down the fiber optic thinking it was for the telephone systems. And they put him under 72-hour observation or something for being crazy because he said that the government was watching him. Little did he know how right he was, but he was cutting down the wrong stuff.
Yep.
But... Yeah, he didn't have anything to back up what he was saying. He was just paranoid, genuinely paranoid, I think. But there's a lot of infrastructure that anybody could just cause all kinds of havoc. And, you know, if 911 goes down, people die. That's one of
Mike, you know, Mike, anyone that's working construction that has a chop saw or a cutting torch out there would know how to take down a power system. You know, it's not that hard. You know, am I giving anyone ideas out there? No, don't do it. But
well, I had to cut a catalytic converter.
By now, they would have moved this underground. So much of our infrastructure, water, sewer, and everything else is already down there. And it would make sense because the maintenance involved and the cost savings. Because I used to work for Asplen, one of the biggest tree companies around. And, you know, they spend billions of dollars keeping these right-of-ways clear and trimming along roadsides. And it's never always done right to prevent power outages. So they should have moved this underground. You know, as these projects come up, we got an opportunity to put a Band-Aid on something or actually invest a little bit and do it right. But it's crazy that we're still running power lines on poles through the trees.
Yeah, it's cost-effective. Well, I guess it's at risk.
As you mentioned, that forklift with that as a source of batteries, you know, there's telephone infrastructure that the batteries are still supporting, you know. And if somebody like Alan there has a landline, you need a clamshell phone, just a basic phone, because the cordless phones go down when the power goes out, and people don't realize that. We live in a place where...
That's what I've got, my friend.
Yeah.
When my power goes out, I've still got phone service, unless the phone lines go down at the same time.
Yeah. Right, from a stupid ice storm or something, but... We live in a place where there's not very good cell phone signal. You have to walk like a half a mile to get a good signal, and half the time you have to reboot your phone so it'll search, and it searches around and finds it. But, you know, if it's 20 below zero, that's a heck of a job to do, you know. We've had that happen, too. We've had here in Kentucky, people didn't believe it, but it got down to 20 below zero several times. We had a wood stove at that time, so we were fine. I've had the shelter in place for 6 to 9 days on several occasions in the last 20 years, no power. You know, so the wood stove thing works, but if you can afford to do it, I'm sure. I know a guy that's got water and solar and battery backup. He goes to some place over near Ashland, Kentucky, and has bought into, I think, unfortunately, mostly retail stuff that he's purchased to link together for his own system. But if you can catch surplus stuff, like you're talking about that forklift or some of these deep cycle marine batteries, that, you know, you can discharge them almost all the way down, and it doesn't hurt them. I think it's because they have a real deep tray in the bottom, so the sulfate stuff doesn't get on the plates. But there's another thing that I heard about called a battery reconditioner that a lot of farmers use, and I've been meaning to get one for a long time. You can
rotate across. That's what John Bedini's stuff was. John Bedini's technology, the way it pulsed into the battery, you could take an old kind of depleted battery and charge it with his systems, and it would reinvigorate the battery, and it would work again.
Well, this
This
makes a brand new battery last twice as long. You know, so if you've got a good silver standard battery or whatever, a mid-grade battery, instead of 3 to 5 years, you might get 5 to 9. You know, out of it. Yep. And where farmers have a lot of these batteries, it's an essential for them. They don't cost that much. They're like $14, and you can rotate them from one vehicle to another. Or one battery to another, so three or four
and,
of them.
And Mike, from what I've heard, you know, it's like the batteries on like the, you know, along the railway systems out in the middle of nowhere. You know, they've got the lights and everything out there. From what I understand, they still use nickel iron batteries in those very remote posts, you know, because these batteries will basically last forever. You know, maybe every 3 or 4 years you've got to change out the electrolyte, but other than that, those batteries will last forever.
Now, that's something to look for to buy, or if things really go down, I mean, I bet you those disappear if you don't get it first.
Try to find shipping on that.
I've got to go into church here. A bunch of people are late, including me.
All right. Well, thanks for your call. I don't know. Batteries, they're important, definitely. They're high maintenance. Some good ideas, though. I'd love to get my hand on some bulk batteries for the end of the world as it comes ahead.
And speaking of the end, we're close to the end, so before I get cut off, maybe again, I'll just say take care of their folks, and I'll let you and Dave close the show out, Steve.
Ah, okay. Dave, what haven't we covered? So much. It's incredible.
Oh, there's a lot out there to talk about, but it was sure fun being on. I appreciate the invite as always, and it's just a hoot to be able to spend time with you guys.
Yeah, it is. It's
like
fun.
I said, Dave, I love your mindset, man. I love your process of thought and, you know, your background and everything else. I know you're one of the good people out there trying to do what's the best they can for this world. Thank you.
We're all in this together.
Well, tune in next week, folks, when we find out if the grid goes down somewhere. You know, it's likely to happen. Will the Russians and the Ukrainians, start World War III? Then we'll see all sorts of grids go down. All right, I guess stock up on incandescent light bulbs because they're going out of style next week. Bidenomics, is that the causing factor? They've been trying to kill those forever, right? I don't know. I don't have.
Yeah, it'll be an underground thing. You'll be buying light bulbs from a guy in a big trench coat out on the street corner soon.
Sure. That'll be fun. Because we could make those. That's one of the reasons incandescents were popular. They're pretty easy to make.
Yeah, government bands always wind up producing an underground market, a black market. You know, they tried to do away with alcohol, and what happened? It didn't work.
I just wonder.
They created a war on drugs, and look at what's happened to drugs, you know?
The CIA became the biggest dealers out there.
High-tech drugs, you know, synthetics. Oh, my God. So we will have synthetic light bulbs. That'd be great. Well,
people shouldn't feel this is too daunting. There's a lot to it, but baby steps. You know, make yourself, your property more resilient a little bit every week. Work smart and work hard, but diversify where you need electricity versus where you need heat. Versus where you need hot water, high energy and low energy things, and match them up accordingly. There's a lot you can run off from batteries, and if you got a generator, there's no reason you shouldn't always have full batteries too. But you know, even people that don't have a lot
of the world out there, but concentrate on your local environment. The only thing you can control.
Yeah.
Prepping for the future. Dun dun dun. Because the future doesn't like you. That's kind of true, right? You know, we're beyond that point. But I do like you, and RBN likes you. Support the network, you know, because it supports you. Wow, I feel like I'm doing a lot of cliches. There you go. Cliche day. Hang on, folks. I think there's a new show coming up today. No? Did I hear something about it? Yeah. John Percent will be starting in a few minutes, so hang on, folks. Love you.
Praise the Mother Earth and the Father Sky. Paid attention to each little blessing in this life. Had a more intimate connection with the spirit world. Learned as a community and equally taught every boy and girl.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They they can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit RepublicBroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.